Will you pray with me and for me? Holy and gracious Lord Jesus, we thank you for these words, for this sacred story in which you call out to us still through the scripture. Lord, quiet our hearts that we might hear your voice. Lord, that you would teach us still today as you taught all those years ago. We pray this in your holy name. Amen. So when I sat down with this scripture today to consider how Jesus is calling us to dine with the enemy, which is our theme for today, I will admit that I had trouble taking the scripture out of Luke seriously for this idea. And it's because every time I read this story, I get stuck in my head a little song that you might know as well. Yeah, you're laughing already, right? The Zacchaeus was a wee little man. Very good, class. Yes. Right? And so every time I read this picture, I have trouble picturing Zacchaeus as a fearsome enemy of the people or of God. Right? I have trouble seeing him as what I might picture as like my chief tax collectors of today, the people that I struggle to have compassion for, the people that I think are preventing the good work of God. All I see is that cute little man in a tree, right? And so I was complaining to a friend about this week, and she told me, you know, it makes me think about the villain in the Mario franchise. His name is Wario. We have a picture of him here. Yes, and so as someone who grew up playing the Mario games, this actually helped me quite a lot with the scripture. Now, if you're not familiar with the games, let me tell you, Mario is the good guy. Right? And Wario is not. In Japanese, his name literally is a combination of the words that mean bad and Mario. He's bad Mario, right? And so Mario is the person who is doing all the good in the world, right? He saves the princess and he's doing all this work to try to build a kingdom where all the happy little Yoshis and Toads can live their lives in peace. You know, he tries to help his brother out. And Wario is the one who is just destroying everything because of his own greed. If you're not familiar with this, if you're like, I have no idea what the pastor's talking about this morning, perhaps this character will land for you. Because Wario, the anti-hero, is based off of this. Really, historically, they based him off of Bluto, who is the anti-hero to Popeye, right? And so you maybe this one might be a little bit more familiar to some of you, right? But Popeye is out there, and in his world, Bluto is the one who is constantly going against him through trickery and deceit. And so with maybe these images in our mind, we can think about Zacchaeus. And suddenly, for me, this wee little man has become a wee little supervillain, right? And I can have compassion for the community at the time, because Zacchaeus is not just a man who is making individual choices that are poor, right? He is someone whose greed and evil spills out, and he is harming the community. Everywhere that the people of God go and try to do good things, Zacchaeus comes along behind in his greed and is undoing the good work of the people of God. So I'm not going to spend a lot of time today breaking down the way the community felt about tax collectors and all the historical detail of that, because frankly, we could get lost in that and be here all day. But I want you to keep that caricature of these characters in mind. I am going to turn us to just one detail so that we can be on the same page, because some of us might be new to the idea of tax collectors in the Bible. And so let's turn to Luke chapter 3, verse 13. Here in the third chapter of Luke, early in the gospel, John the Baptist, he's receiving all kinds of people in the wilderness to be baptized and to prepare them to hear the word of Jesus. And every time someone comes, we're told that they ask what they should do to live a good life. And he's giving different answers to different people. So the tax collectors come, a group of them, and they ask him, you know, what do we need to do? And John gives them this answer: don't collect any more than you are required to. It is such a well-known practice in the day that tax collectors get rich by collecting what they're supposed to for the government and then manipulating the people into giving them more. And so if you are rich, which we are told Zacchaeus is, if you are rich as a tax collector, you are using a system that is already oppressive and oppressing people even more for your own gain. So Zacchaeus is this corrupt tool of the empire who, instead of suffering under or resisting an unjust system alongside his people, he decides, this is just the way the world is. I might as well get rich in the process. So in this story, we're looking at Jesus inviting himself to come and sit down at the dinner table with a person who represents everyone who stands in the way of a good and godly life for the community of believers. Now, perhaps when I say it in that way, that Zacchaeus is the one who represents the people that are standing in the way of a good and godly life, good and godly society, maybe some people start to come to mind. I know they do for me. Maybe it's a person or a type of person who you feel like today, that while there's all kinds of people doing good, like we've heard about so many of them today, so many people who are doing good and trying to build up the community of God, then this group of people comes to mind and you feel like they are just standing in the way of all the good work that everyone else is trying to do. That's your Zacchaeus. Wherever your mind goes, that's who the enemy is for you today. And every time from here on out that I say Zacchaeus, I want you to put them in the place, because we're talking about the people who work against the goodness, the peace, the justice, and the life of the community of God. And so let's revisit the story. And remember, every time I say Zacchaeus, who's going in place? That person you just thought of. So in this story, Zacchaeus, really? Those people? Yeah, Zacchaeus decides he's going to seek out Jesus. And in doing so, he lets go of all kinds of social norms. He runs and climbs a tree, something that no good, decent, grown man does. And his fervor to see Jesus, the Son of God, makes us as readers looking on say, ooh, would I do that to see Jesus? Would I run? Would I climb a tree? Would I throw aside everything that my pride would prevent so that I could get a glimpse of the promise of God? And then once he does that, we see that Jesus is also seeking Zacchaeus. Right? He looks up into this tree and he says, Zacchaeus, I must stay with you. We learn that this enemy of the community of God is seeking God. And what's more, God is seeking him, and they are doing it with this intensity. I want you to picture, if you will, a scene in which people have come out to see someone famous, right? Someone as famous has come to town. Everybody's coming out to get a glimpse of them. Now, I don't care much about celebrities, but I do rather enjoy the British royal family, and some others here among our staff do as well. And so I thought about the Queen's Jubilee, right, that happened just recently in 2022. And so this is a big year, right? It's the 70th year that she has reigned as monarch, and so the Queen is making this tour all around the world, and people are coming out to see her and doing wild and ridiculous things, right? Climbing to get a glimpse of her. But what does the Queen do, right? She certainly does not go and stay at the house of any of those people. And if she had, can you imagine that sweet little queen going to go stay with someone random she found on the street? It would have been a scandal. And it's a scandal for Jesus to do it too. But Zacchaeus welcomes Jesus into his home. He is eager to break these social customs. Last week, Gina talked about how in the home of Simon the Pharisee, Jesus did not receive welcome. But here in the home of Zacchaeus, he does. And finally, when they are there at the home, reclined at the table, building a relationship between Zacchaeus and Jesus, Zacchaeus is restored to the community. Today, salvation has come to this house because he too is a son of Abraham. These are the words that Jesus offers, not so much to Zacchaeus, but to those gathered who would prevent Zacchaeus from experiencing salvation. I want you to think again about that person who has maybe left your mind, or that type of person, the person who is your modern day Zacchaeus. And then I want you to say this part in italics with me. He too is a son of Abraham. He too is in relationship with God. She too is in relationship with God. Because it is in relationship with Jesus that Zacchaeus' identity is restored. The community is reminded of who Zacchaeus is, not because of anything he has done, but fully because of everything God has done. So often, I think we don't give our enemies the privilege of an identity, right? We will use a mean nickname, or we will describe them by their worst attribute. But notice in this story that Jesus calls Zacchaeus' name. He gives him his full identity, and his name, it actually means this. It means pure. It's a moniker that probably would have been laughable to the community that felt like he was their enemy. But in relationship to Jesus, that name is everything. It is who he is in God. This part is so critical because we place so much of the weight of the salvation moment upon that declaration that Zacchaeus makes when he says, I'm going to give half of all I have to the poor, and if I've you know, scammed anyone, I'll give back to them four times over. We place so much of the weight of his salvation in that moment, but Jesus doesn't. Jesus connects Zacchaeus' salvation to the fact that Zacchaeus is seeking God, and even more importantly, that God is seeking Zacchaeus. The reality is, church, we don't know what Zacchaeus' declaration means. He stands up from the dining table. Remember, we were talking, they're probably reclined if they're sharing a meal together. And so he stands up, and it's this dramatic declaration in which he might be hyperbolic, right? Like giving half of all you have to the poor, paying back four times. It feels like hyperbole. And in our culture, we are kind of trained to hear that big of an exaggeration as maybe a lie, because we think people who overpromise tend to underdeliver. But in the day, to speak with such exaggeration was to say, I'm serious about this, right? It held a different weight. And so he stands up and makes this very serious declaration. And in that moment, right, we think he's made a change. We translate it for our own ease. I will give. I will pay back. But in the original language, it's in the present tense. I give. I pay back. And so the truth is, we don't know if he's saying, here, I've had a change of heart and I'm going to do something different, or if he's saying, Jesus, I'm already living this righteous way, I think. Right? I'm already doing what I think is best, but the community can't see it because they're so biased against me. We truly don't know. I can't stand up here and tell you it was a change or it wasn't. We don't know, and I think that's beautiful. because his salvation doesn't hinge on that moment. His salvation hinges on his relationship to Jesus. And so if you and I think about the Zacchaeuses in our life, and we want to say, yes, absolutely, they can be in relationship and they can be saved as long as they change their behavior, then we've totally missed the point of this scripture. Jesus isn't teaching here that we find salvation once we get our finances in order or once we completely get our life in line with God's way of living. We learn in the scripture that being in relationship with Jesus causes a change of heart. Relationship comes first. Zacchaeus seeks. Jesus seeks. They share a meal together. They remind each other of who we are in God, and because of that relationship, Zacchaeus is restored. And if changes need to be made to Zacchaeus' life, they happen because of the relationship, not before it. Notice how Jesus doesn't ask Zacchaeus to repent before they have a relationship. When Zacchaeus climbs up in the tree, Jesus doesn't look up to him and say, "You know, Zacchaeus, I would love to come stay at your house tonight, but you're kind of a mess, so you got to get yourself together, and then I'll be by once you've had a chance to pull it together." Right? Jesus enters into the mess of Zacchaeus's life, and Jesus trusts that the Holy Spirit is going with him and is going to, together, right, Jesus and the Holy Spirit in that relationship, the change will come to Zacchaeus' heart. What we're learning here is the power of being at the table with the Zacchaeuses of our life, with the people that we think are enemies to the goodness of God. We learn the power of including into our community the very people that we think are the ones preventing our community from flourishing. God can use all people. And very sadly to me, God uses them much differently than I would. I'm going to be honest, if I was planning how God would use Zacchaeus, Zacchaeus would have stopped tax collecting altogether, right? If I wrote Zacchaeus's life, I would say that he's going to stop doing that. He's going to use his money skills to, I don't know, help people manage their personal finances. Or if he stays a tax collector, he's going to use his inside knowledge to help the poor in his community get one over on the empire. And right, like it's going to look totally different. But we're not told that Zacchaeus stops tax collecting. Right? That's not how the story goes. We are told that in relationship with Jesus, Zacchaeus is restored, Zacchaeus is transformed, and that inner transformation creates a desire in Zacchaeus to see the world built in the image of God. That's what we get. Because in relationship to Jesus, we are being made right. That starts when Zacchaeus seeks Jesus. It continues when Jesus calls to him. It continues when they're eating together. It continues when Zacchaeus, yes, maybe repents or changes his behavior. And that being made right in Jesus continues long after this story ends. That is Zacchaeus' salvation. The whole process of it. It is the internal work of the Holy Spirit that compels that external work in the kingdom of God. The way that this calls us to be in community together today, it is difficult, but I think it's pretty clear. And you know what? For Bible, I will take that. If we want to transform the world, if we want the people that we feel like are impediments to the flourishing of God's life, if we want those people to help us be kingdom builders, then we have to be in relationship with them. Full stop. We need to be in relationship with them. We don't need to tell them to change. We don't need to wait until they change. We need to be in relationship with them now so that in relationship together, we might see Jesus reflected through us. I think sometimes we worry that being in relationship, it's a tacit endorsement of someone else's character or their behavior, and that to be in relationship, we have to condone everything they do. That's not what Jesus is modeling for us today. Jesus models that you can come and sit at table and hold different values, that you can be different people and still be in relationship. Because it's only in relationship to Jesus, only in relationship then to one another, because this is where we experience Jesus most clearly. It's only there that any of us really get an honest reflection of our own character, of our own behavior, so that we might come to be kingdom builders instead of kingdom destroyers. If this is all feeling very heavy and you're hearing me talk about dining at the table with this person that you just, and you're looking at this table and your eye just can't picture and you think, yeah, this is all fine and good, but this person I'm thinking of, you haven't met them. I hear you. Let's take a deep breath. I hear you. And I want to be clear that dining with the enemy shouldn't put you or anyone else in danger. But it probably will make you very uncomfortable. And being uncomfortable is not necessarily being in danger. It probably will break the social norms around you, and breaking social norms is not necessarily being in danger. It probably will not be your preferred company over dinner if you got to choose who you were eating with. It probably isn't this person that you're thinking of. And if you are brave enough to take that risk, to step into the discomfort of dining with that person, here's the good news. It is not your job to do any of the converting work while you are in relationship. Remember, even Jesus himself doesn't ask Zacchaeus to repent. Jesus trusts that he is in ministry with the Holy Spirit, and that together that change will come. If Jesus needs the Holy Spirit to help him change people's hearts, I think it's okay for you to need the Holy Spirit to help change people's hearts. And if Jesus can take a step back and let the Holy Spirit work simply through the relationship, I think it's okay for you to take a step back and let the Holy Spirit simply work through your relationships. It's our job to show up and be in relationship, to set the table, to prepare, to welcome with gracious hospitality, to call people to table. And praise be to God, in a relationship with Jesus, hearts change. Praise be to God, in a relationship with Jesus, even the hearts of our enemies change. And praise be to God, in a relationship with Jesus, even our hearts change. Amen. Amen.